WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are into the positive season of watching other teams play football and sitting around and trying to get our masks on or masks off. I got my third shot, and like, I'm connected to 100,000 people out in the world, right? Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. People have been coming at me for 53 years in all sorts of ways. And when the year starts fresh, I've started to like look for some people that I haven't had on, and I wanted to be inspired when the year started. And luckily for me, I have lots of inspiring people in my life. So people do all sorts of things, and I feel like this was a reach back to some people that maybe I didn't have on last year. Maybe I didn't even have them on the year before that. Now that we're 3 years into a plague, I have not talked to this guy since the beginning of the plague. I think the last time I saw him, I barely recognized him because we were in a dark room doing a networking thing. I think we were at the Four Seasons. I think my wife was just getting better. It was like 2015 or 2016. He was a longtime producer at WJZ up on the hill with Don and Marty and Turk and all the friends up at Channel 13. Been gone a long time, but he is Emmy Award winning. I see that on the front of his website. It's been a little while since Mark Brudinski and I got together. You can follow his journey, his stories, his inspiration at Mark Brudinski. That's BRODINSKY.life. He's also out on the Facebook and the Twitter and the social media and somewhere around town telling stories. Blade, what is up, man? Happy 22 to you, brother.
Happy 22 to you, Nestor. It's great to see you. It really has been a little while, so I'm glad you reached out, and lots been going on. I mean, it's a great life, and that's, well, that's the way we have to look at it.
Your ex-wife had a cancer journey. My wife had a cancer journey. I think we've known each other since before then, when you were in the media business and whatnot, and Don and Marty would yell out Blade on the morning show, morning edition, and all that stuff. And but we're going back 25, 30 years here. I would say that when my wife got ill in that period, 13, 14, 15, I come out of the box inspired. Anybody that knows me probably knows that about me and my firewalks with Tony Robbins 30 years ago and like all of that. But during that period of time, people who were doing inspirational things, telling inspirational stories, trying to push the world forward a little bit, somehow found my timeline. It's a serendipity of how algorithms and logarithms, I guess, work in social media. But your stuff popped up, and I don't want to say I stole your idea for Baltimore Positive, but I felt like your messaging and sort of the bullseye of what you were getting at was trying to lift things and lift people up a little bit. And I think when I sat down and did my sort of, you know, come to Nestor agreement a couple, 3 years ago, when I decided what I was going to do with WNSD, what you had built sort of laid some tracks for the kinds of conversations I wanted to have. So I want to honor you by having you on here to start the year, but I wanted to start the year not with fire the coach and bench the quarterback and fire DaCosta and let's get a new football owner, but more with where your journey has been. Because the last couple of years, you're still telling stories. I don't see all of them, but I know you've really created a life to telling good stories, not just about Baltimore, but about people.
Yeah, I sat in your home when Jen got sick and told your story. Came to visit. If you recall that, we did the interview on the radio, and I did it on my storytelling blog, which back then was called the Sunday Series. Now I still tell stories, but I do it for the insurance company I actually work with, and I do it for nonprofits, organizations. I'm actually starting a new one. It's called Songs from the Heart, Storytelling for Singers and Songwriters, because I want to mesh my two greatest loves, which is writing and music. Those things fill my soul. So everyone should go after what speaks to your soul. And your soul doesn't always let you know, right? It whispers. It doesn't shout. So you got to get quiet and listen. But I love to, you know, when you share someone's story, it validates their life when they read it. And, you know, there are no mistakes. God doesn't play favorites. So we're all miracle masterpieces and heroes. And we all should be celebrated in what we do. We all have flaws, right? We're flawsome. We're flawed but awesome.
But well, I should go back and find that piece from 7 years ago to see what I said. I mean, I have all these tapes of 30 years of my life. Anybody ever wanted to exhume me, they could hear all sorts of thoughts about Cal Ripken in the 90s or Ray Lewis in the aughts or whatever it would be. But for your work and all this work you've been doing, everything at markbrudinski.life then?
Yeah. You can see my 1 billion mission. I mean, my mission in life is I'm now positively impacting the lives of 1 billion people. Because my thing is, if I impact 1 billion, the ripple effect of that, because this is the universe, right? It's universe means one song. We're all connected. That ripple effect would affect 7.5 billion people. And it's about making people believe that they matter, because everybody does. I carry these cards around with me every day, and I hand them out to people at random, people that give service, cashiers, restaurants, people in the elevator. You cannot imagine how someone's day changes when they get this card in their hand. I actually had it produced by my girlfriend. And
we're on radio, so you're showing
it. You can't see it, right.
It says, you matter. You matter.
Right. It says, you matter. So the cards are handed out. I keep them in my pocket. I keep a supply. And you can't imagine how someone's day changes when you slip that card to them for no reason at all. And they look at that, and it reminds them, especially people in service who kind of get kicked around. You know, if you're having a bad day and you talk to someone who's just in a retail store, you're going to let them have it. You're not going to smile at them. You're going to scowl at them. You're in a rush. You stop just for a second and remind somebody that they have a meaning on this planet. It changes them, even for that moment, if I make someone smile. In fact, I just changed my voicemail message. It says, hey, this is Mark Brudinski. How can I make you smile today? Just be different.
Us smile today. I'm trying to uplift the show around here for Be More Positive and Baltimore Positive. Mark Brudinski is here, the one-time storyteller for WJ. Run me through your background in that so people maybe know The Blade or Don and Marty used to chat. And by the way, Don sits with me at the Ravens games up 5:13, at least did 2 weeks ago before I let go of my tickets for the last time. And, you know, I see Marty obviously on TV and running around on my Facebook or whatever. Your background was in storytelling literally with a camera. Old school, the news, Bleeds, Leads, News, all that stuff for a long, long time, right, Blade?
I came out of college, Towson, which is now called Towson University, as a TV producer. Got an internship at WJZ, worked there for 20 years.
You weren't old enough for the teacher's college?
No. Thank you. I'm not that much older than you, Nestor. So. No, I missed the teacher's college. It was Towson State University.
Well, I mean, I get that now. It's Towson University, Towson State University, Towson Teacher's College. I'm old enough to, like, have association to all of it. So when I say teacher's college, the young kids are like, the kids from Jersey that come down, they're like, huh? I don't know what you're talking about, you know?
I majored in mass communication, got an internship at the station, and Marty really took me under his wing. He was a great influence. He's still one of my best friends, and I started producing that show. I was on the show for 10 years, had a great segment called Fly Friday. We used to go up in the helicopter and check out cool stuff from the sky, but my main role was producing, and producing a news show is telling a story. It's choreographed, right? You start with a blank sheet, and you got to fill in the dance.
And in TV news, it's short. I'm a storyteller from like a long form and a writer. I had inches in the newspaper. Dude, you had like a minute and 15 seconds to get the story done, maybe 30 seconds to get a story done, right?
Correct. And that's why it was frustrating, too, because I love to write. I want to tell stories in a longer format, and that's why I started the blog, which started off, it's just about life, and then someone said, hey, you know what, we love your writing. They were watching what I was writing when my wife had gone through cancer. They saw the book I produced. They're like, you tell stories in such a beautiful way. Will you tell ours? And I told the story of a young boy who actually unfortunately passed away. He had a debilitating disease. And from then on, it was meeting people, telling stories for no reason at all. And then I did about 150, 160, and I went to the company I'm with now, U.S. Health Advisors, and said, hey, I'll tell stories about leaders and agents and home office people to help you recruit and attract people to this company. Because when you tell a story and you open up people's vulnerability, just as we should do ourselves, it's attractive. Because if you walk around with that mask and saying, hey, I'm cool, I'm great, nothing bothers me, it's BS, and we all know it. Because everyone you'll ever meet in your entire life is going through something. The thing is, what do you do about that something? How do you react? How do you bounce back? How do you, you know, turn a setback into a comeback? That's what we want to hear. Because everyone is, you know, life is messy, life is hard, but it's also beautiful. And you're here for a short time. Let's make stuff happen with that gift and talent inside of you. It's not that difficult to do if you just look at simple things. And I know I mentioned before we started this segment, Nestor, about my mastermind group. I highly recommend. I got two people in my life. It started off with three other guys. Now it's two, only because one moved to New York. But for the past decade, we get together every Friday for almost 2 hours, and we have a call every Monday for 30 minutes. And we literally track three banner goals that we're going after over the course of the year. And we track our activities and our actions toward those. And we hold each other accountable, and we pick each other up when we're down. We celebrate our lives. Matter of fact, at the end of every year, we do something called a mastermind end of year program. You have to share your entire year in pictures, in music, in words. And this year, we actually rented out a movie theater, and we did it on the big screen. You have not lived until you've taken a look back at your life and put it in a PowerPoint over the past year. Because in the worst year of your life, you can find stuff to be grateful for and to celebrate. And it's just the coolest thing. We should really make a documentary. If it wasn't so personal, it would be easy to do. But we're sharing things that, you know, we don't want the whole world to know about. But it really, it transformed me in the past decade. And that's why it taught me, or it inspired me to start my 1 billion mission. It inspired me to start this You Matter campaign. It inspired me to believe that I can help other people believe in themselves.
Mark Brudinski is here. He's been my friend for a couple decades. You may remember from Channel 2 or Channel 13 and WJZ from back before the turn of the century. He's telling stories now at markbrudinski.life. And so when you picked me 7 years ago and my wife was going through hard times and trying to stay alive, we needed a donor in Germany. I think I talked to you before her first battle or during her first battle. It was like before she had gone through the second one and the comas and all the awful stuff that happened the second time around. But when you pick people, there's a vulnerability. You mentioned someone we lost along the way. And when I think back to my wife's illness, the strangest thing would happen. She would walk around bald through the harbor, like below where this image is. And some people would look at her and smile to send strength her way. And I noticed this about men, specifically men. There were men, big, strong, burly, manly men, you know, the kind of men that would vote for a Donald Trump, let's say, that walked through the harbor and wouldn't look at her. They couldn't bring themselves to look at this bald woman because it may make them tear up. It may make them catch their throat, swallow hard, didn't know how to react to it, wouldn't know what to say to a 92-pound bald woman walking through the harbor. That there's a vulnerability to all of that, that people don't like getting associated with sick people, people that might die because of the emotional part of it, being around the hospital, seeing sick kids and all that. There is a point where, to some degree, we'll donate, we'll write a check, we'll buy a ticket for a charity thing or whatever, but there's that connection of vulnerability that you've never had a problem taking on to find a story that might have a sad ending. It might not have the happy ending because not all these stories, my wife's in the other room, but it doesn't always work that way. We know that. And you've taken on stories where it might not have worked. We might not be having a happy story right now that you came in on 7 years ago.
It wasn't always about people who were sick. It was celebrating life of people that I met that were doing great things. But in your wife's case, I mean, the guy walking by this bald woman, it reminds you in person of your own mortality. And we get scared about that, right? We're all fearful that we're going to die, yet death is not something to be afraid of. Death is just the next step, right? I mean, in death, hopefully, you're not going to feel a thing, right? You're going to go and everyone else feels the pain of your loss, but you don't. So while you're here, doing all you can with all you have been given is the goal. And unfortunately, sometimes we wait until the point that we are sick or someone that we love is sick. Or something happens.
Well,
in
then
our
you
life.
Can't look away. I found myself in that condition where I'm thinking, when I saw a bald woman at the harbor, and I guess I saw a million of them without realizing it in the city with all these hospitals, and because all we did was see bald women when my wife was bald, right? Like we walk places, other people had cancer, other people had leukemia. It's just kind of a law of attraction kind of thing. But it really made me think: am I someone that was going over to someone vulnerable and saying, I'm with you, or am I? Could I not handle that? Could I not emotionally make a connection there? And I think life, you know, and that's the difference between being 53 and being 23, probably, right?
Big time, big time. Maturity is a big thing. The longer you live in life, the more experiences you have. You're going to come across this stuff, and it's being in the moment, and especially when someone that you love, how could you not walk away? But like you said, before that happened, you saw people didn't give it a second thought, maybe, or saw a child like that. I served on the board of the Ronald McDonald House for 6 years, saw a lot of bald kids, and that's, you know, it's heart-wrenching.
And if you immerse, you know not everybody's going to live. Like, I mean, that I guess that's my point. My point is to be a part of that. You know, I guess same thing. To adopt an animal is to know you're going to be there for the funeral, right? Like to some degree, right? But to go into that environment and be a part of it, I would say be a hugger to some degree. But whatever that would represent in the modern era with masks and all of that, to get involved with someone that's vulnerable, these are stories that you've never had a problem 2 feet diving into that puddle and telling that story.
No, I haven't. I wrote a blog called 40 Days. We didn't talk about this, but my mom had a stroke on Labor Day. She's alive. But 40 days later, my dad died on October 16th. So
of this year?
Of this year.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Almost 90 days ago. So you like when my mom had the stroke, you think, well, something could happen to her, unfortunately, and maybe she won't survive that she has and she's doing well. But my dad, who was doing okay, his health issues started to exacerbate, and next thing you know, he couldn't hang on. I had to put him in hospice, and he passed away. And, you know, things that have never happened before happen all the time. You just can't realize or know what's going to happen in life. So, again, it's about immersing you. I had to immerse myself in that situation for 40 days. I don't live near them anymore. I was traveling back and forth from Gaithersburg to Baltimore. And at one point, my mom's in a rehab facility. My dad's in a hospital. And I'm bouncing back and forth and still trying to work and lead my sales team here and write stories and do my avocation and work with my mastermind group. And you just – it's all about how you face life and how you stand up. And I knew when my dad passed, kindest, gentlest person you ever met. He got a little, you know, I think we all do, short-tempered and impatient and later in life. But just a kind person, didn't have a bad word to say about anybody. And I realized that this is the message. I'm already kind of doing that, but now I'm even more inspired to be that person that doesn't pass judgment, I don't care what your opinion is. You know, where opinions are based on education and experience. We're all humans. We got a brain, lungs, and heart if we're lucky, and we're all the same, yet we're all different. We're all unique. So why should I think like you and you think like me? If we combine on our opinion, then it's just one opinion. We should all be unique and, you know, share our gifts with the world, because that's why we're here.
We're into a new year and trying to find some new inspiring tales. My pal Mark Brudinski, I have a long list, man, of people I'm going to have on the show this year. Like, the list is so long, I can't get to all of you. But one at a time, beginning here in January, I'm having some folks on that I haven't had on. He is the story guy. It says 1 billion hashtag on his shirt. I'm going to let him explain all that. You can find him at Mark Brudinski. That's BRODINSKY.life. I like that dot life thing. I gotta be nasty now. Nestor.life before it, BaltimorePositive.life before it's all over. This journey you're on to tell these stories, give me the seedling of it. You know, I would say, people say, why are you doing Baltimore Positive? You know, my wife's illness, part of it, and B positive was her blood type, and I live here, and people were crushing the city after Freddie Gray and all that, and all the mayors going to – But really, it probably started with my fire walk with Tony Robbins in 1994 and starting to open my mind to – maybe some information that I wasn't given at Dundalk High. No disrespect to Don Moeller back in the 80s, but just a different way to adjust to life's difficulties and finding, dare I say, a positive outlook in every outcome, because there is a silver lining in most dark clouds, Mark.
Yes, of course. And the storytelling really just came from, I wanted to start a blog because I love to write. And I just made observations of life and just wrote about things I saw out happening, you know, amongst the peoples and in my own life. And then when someone reached out to me, Marcy Sharon, said, we love how you write. Would you tell our story? Something clicked. And I'm like, you know what? I want to share people's lives again to either inspire people, give them empathy, make them realize that no matter what is happening in your life, it's also happening in someone else's life. And realize, again, that we're all part of this universe. We are all experiencing things together in a way that you can't imagine. And it steamrolled from there. It's something I love to do. And again, like I said, you have to listen close to hear what your soul is saying to you. It doesn't shout, it whispers. And you got to get quiet and listen to it. I mean, I meditate now. It's one of my banner goals of the year, is to meditate 15 to 20 minutes in the morning. And it's already changed my life in 10 days. I get a text from Nestor, 4:45 in the morning the other day, says, hey, do you want to come on? Right? And share. I haven't talked to Nestor in a couple years. Well, out of the blue, right? You could feel the energy that I'm giving off, and I feel the energy you're giving off. And you cannot fight that connection. It's just,
well,
there.
New Year's are good. And, you know, New Year is, you know, I spent the last 2 weeks of last year just sitting around going through notes and thinking, like, doing all the things that you're doing in your mastermind group to say, all right, we're 3 years into this freaking plague and it sucks. But, you know, I savored that Rolling Stone show I went to. I savored those two Eagles shows I went to and that Alanis Morissette and the Ravens games that I went to. And my wife and I went to the beach last summer. And, I mean, I think about the first plague year. And, by the way, this plague has really been something, hasn't it? I mean, in regard to – people's heads, their hearts, their emotion, their time. You know, people like, oh my God, I'm trapped at home with my kids. What am I going to do? I thought about this right now, Blade, as we're recording this, we're second week of January. Plague's going crazy. I got my third shot the other day. I have right now on my flight app, I have a flight to the Super Bowl in 3 weeks for 9 days in LA. I have rooms. I don't think I'm going. I have a flight to see the Eagles in Florida in February, late. I don't think I'm going. I have a flight to the NFL owners meetings in March. I don't think I'm going. I have sort of written off these next 8 to 10 weeks to think like the world's shutting down again a little bit. And if it doesn't, it probably should, because I don't want the plague. Everybody I know has this. And it's in these times when things shut down. I think about 2 years ago when everything stopped. I found some relative calm in that in some way. Maybe it's because I'm a writer and I've written books and I've stopped my life, and my wife had her life stopped twice immediately with masks on and all that, that this sort of stopping of life allows me to regroup to some degree. And the Ravens get knocked out of the playoffs, and I don't have bus trips this week to Foxborough or Kansas City. This period of time of staying home in the winter and preparing for the spring is that's a blessing to me. I mean, I feel like idle time is good time for me. If it's called idle time, that's dream time for me. That's when I come up with stuff, you know?
We all need that. I've heard the line that isolation is a gift. It is. Mm. For a short period of time. It is, because we all need to stop down. We all get up and run on this treadmill of life. Unfortunately, for many people, it is a treadmill. You're running, 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 not going anywhere. So if you actually stopped, turned off the treadmill, sat down, read a book, and thought, you know what? I got some other ideas and some things inside of me that I'd like to create. Because the secret of success, and there's a book called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. And he says in that book that when you go from the competitive to the creative mind, that's when you get rich. Because we all have this creativity inside of us. You have to create something. Like Nestor, you created this radio show in your life and the books and everything you're doing, standing apart from the herd, because that's what attracts people. You're using what it is you're good at to share this with the world, to make the world a better place. And too many of us just get up in the morning and then go to bed at night and just run through our days without doing anything special for ourselves. It's self-care.
We also get into a point where what the world expects of us, what other people expect of me, becomes what you become if you allow that. You know, you allow the world to make you into the clay instead of being the clay yourself. And I certainly fell victim to that, and Nasty Nestor in sports and stick to sports, which anybody that told me to stick to sports 4 years ago is probably somebody I don't need in my life.
You have to be who you are. And at some point you're going to do that, or else you won't be fulfilled and you won't be happy. It's a process. I have a meetup called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. In fact, my next one's this coming Monday. I got almost 1,500 members now. It's live on Zoom. And I teach people how to do the little things.
Well, change your mind, change your life. Let me say that. One thing that a large segment of our population doesn't believe in is change. They, even though change is inevitable and they're changing, they don't realize it. Acceptance of change, and more than just acceptance of it, welcoming it, because it's coming. It's coming. And resisting change is to be conservative and rigid in a way that isn't healthy. In my opinion, it's not healthy to say, this is the way I am, it's the way I've always been. That's no offense. I grew up with that in Dundalk. That was the Archie Bunker mindset that I did not want for myself. And the people that say, I've never changed my mind about anything, that's probably... But that is a mindset unto itself to be rigid. And that's an unfortunate thing. And that's a very difficult thing to change, as you found out, right?
Change is hard. But listen, if you had done the change that you needed to do for yourself when this, as you call it, plague hit, it wasn't so bad, because you already were ready to handle it. You had the foundation to bounce back up. When my marriage ended, because of what I did, I had the power and the process and the courage to bounce back from that in a way a lot quicker than anyone else I've ever seen. And the love that I have with my ex and my girls, and it's because there's no defense to love. And if you actually work on changing the way you look at the world, when you change the way you think, the things you think about change. And that's powerful. And you just have to take time to do that in your life. Reading is a great way to do it. Gratitude and focusing on your health, right? Becoming a healthy individual, because health is wealth. And you know, the person with great health has 1,000 wishes. The person that doesn't have good health, as you've learned, has only one. which is all right.
So look, man, I'm doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to get out, let ourselves play. We call these things Wise Conversations, presented by Wise Marks. Here's what I'm going to do, man. The Crab Cake Tour, people say, why the Crab Cake Tour? You're eating all these crab cakes? I'm like, no, the whole idea was to get together with people like Blade, you know, give me an excuse to come together and have some crab cakes with folks. I kind of dreamed that up when the plague was coming out last spring into the summer. I did 30 crab cakes in 30, actually did 42 crab cakes in 30 days. I cheated when I was over in the Eastern. Some of them were so good. Sometimes they bring me two. But I'm going to do that again this year. I'm going to be around the city. I want to mastermind up with you and your mastermind guys for crab cakes at some point in the spring or summer. How about we do that? All right.
That'd be great. I'd love that.
I don't want to truncate this segment. We'll keep it going. I'll invite you back. We'll do it over maybe even an adult beverage. At least in my case, you can have iced tea if you wish. Mark Brunitsky is here. He is the Blade. He tells stories. He is a storyteller. You can find him at Mark Brodinsky, BRODINSKY.com. What do you got in the hopper? What's next here? Are you in the midst of telling a story, writing a book? Or you? Well, what comes in February for you that's not a Ravens Super Bowl?
Remember, it's .life, not .com.
.life. I'm sorry. My bad.
.life.
I'm on .com right now. I'm on markbrodinsky.com. I'm finding it's just about the life in the Sunday series. So I moved from one website to another. I'm sorry.
Yeah. markbrodinsky.life is the overarching website for everything that I do, from stories to the billion mission to my meetup. But what's coming is I'm working, like I said, on that storytelling blog for singers, but I'm also going to write a book based on the meetup. That's now, it's going to hit its 4-year anniversary next month. Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. And I go over 12 what I call principles of change. And if you focus on these areas in your life and just do little things consistently day after day, because the secret to your success is in your daily agenda. So just do things that are easy to do but easy not to do, and that's why people don't do them. And if you did them consistently over time, your entire life would change. And I have so many testimonials of people in that meetup, people that join all the time. It's just it's life-affirming. It really is.
Well, one of the things I always try to say to people, especially when they're going through tough times, and I know it's a Journey song, you know, now sung by Arnel Pineda, but be good to yourself, right? Like, be kind to yourself. I think that is that the world will beat you up, especially if you're on Twitter or on social media, as we pointed out, sticking to sports and all that stuff. That being kind to yourself and having being your own best friend, and that sounds sort of, you know, sanctimonious and sort of, you know, I'm into me, but until you dig yourself, you're really going to have a struggle. And I think people finding kindness for themselves, not too much ice cream or like self-satisfying, but being comfortable with yourself. To your point that being alone, how long can you stand your own company? That is probably the first thing that someone needs to overcome. In my opinion, that would be the place to start, is to say, if I'm going to beat myself up, I'm never going to get to where I need to go.
If you want to change the world, do the hardest thing there is to do in life, which is love yourself. Truly.
That's a Whitney Houston.
Honestly. Yeah, it is. You're right.
Well, you're doing singers. At some point, we'll be able to get back out and elbow each other and breathe on each other, and I can give you a big, warm Venezuelan Italian hug for you and old friends. But in the meantime, I'll be following you out of markbrodinsky.life, and I will bring you back on. We'll do a crab cake, and keep me up on what's going on. See, when I connect with you guys, Facebook then brings you to the top of my threads, and I get to hear all of your warm, fuzzy, awesome, inspiring stories, which is probably the reason I brought you on for half an hour, Blake.
Cool. I appreciate it, Nestor. It's great to reconnect. I really enjoyed this, so thank you. And look, you're doing great things out there in the universe, and that's what matters, right? Keep being you. That's the most important thing. Keep being true and authentic, vulnerable, and people are going to keep coming, beating a path to your doorstep.
I am the one of the 1 billion on your shirt there. Mark Brodinsky, the Blade, joining us here, the story guy, storyteller. You can find him and Sunday Stories and Storytelling for Business and books and journeys and passion all out at markbrodinsky.life. Blade, hang in there. Stay warm during this winter. There's crab cakes and good weather coming, I swear. We're all going to the beach, I swear, hon. There'll be traffic and everything. I am Nestor. We're making it all happen around here. Our friends at Royal Farms pour our coffee as well as Justin Tucker's coffee, although he won't be kicking any field goals here this week, but it was a nice piece on 60 Minutes. Real fresh, real fast. Luke is monitoring all things off-season for the Ravens and not season for the Orioles. We'll get Luke back on here. You can find all of our work at WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, where we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.